Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
You see, God's creation is not haphazard, willy-nilly, whatever your definition of willy-nilly. I'm sure it's not that. And it goes on. It's just God does things, all things, decently in order. There's a complete, wonderful design. You study in like physical geography, and you look at the balance in just the moisture, the weather systems, and all of the things, the amount of water on the earth, everything, the way it's perfectly designed, it's very orderly. It's designed so that you and I can walk around with just the right exact amount of gravity so that we don't spin off the earth. And it's designed with just the right amount of oxygen so that we can live and breathe and function. It's designed marvelously, wonderfully. It's a perfect thing for us to live in. God designed it that way for us. It's in order. Well, the angelic beings function in a very orderly fashion. Think with me. Think with me back. They're eternal beings. Think with me back. They watched what happened when one-third of the angelic hosts got out of sync with God's design and plan, and they watched one-third of their group go down, get cast out from God's presence. That's a radical thought, isn't it? One-third of them got cast out. The angelic beings looking in and watching, and if we start getting out of sync with what God's wanting to do and the way he does things, they get uncomfortable. They get concerned. What's going to happen in this situation now? What's going to go on? How is this going to play out? And so out of even honor for God and for the angelic beings, hey, just stay in an order that is what God designed. It's really an interesting thought to contemplate. Is someone going out on their own? They watched what happened when someone drifted that way. And what happened? They were cast out. God is a God of order. And he sets things in motion in his way. I think when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, sometimes we forget, really, that one, we were bought with a price. Every one of us was bought with a price. The blood of the Lamb. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table today. Communion. Oh, you and I were bought at a price. You and I are not our own any longer. Not a popular message today. I understand that. But you see, the thing is I'm accountable to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for these simple truths. And I'd rather live them out and speak them openly and know that at least that God is going to be pleased and honored by that truth, because that is the truth. You and I were bought at a price. In other words, we traded in the messed up life that we had, that life that was dark and covered in sin and had no relationship with God. We traded that in because of with the washing and cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, the forgiveness of our sins, for this new life, everlasting life. We were condemned, now we're set free. We have everlasting life in the person of Jesus Christ. And yes, that is true, but we were bought at a price, and once we gave our lives to Jesus, we became a part of another kingdom. Not just this kingdom here on earth, but we're a part of an eternal kingdom where God rules and reigns. We are subjects then, therefore, within his kingdom. He's the king, we're not. Did it go really all that well when you were sitting on the throne in your own life? It didn't go well. It doesn't go well. When we try and rule and reign over ourselves, it stinks. Things go bad. It's so important for us to get back to those basics and realize that's the kind of thing that God's talking about here, is letting him be honored, be subjects within the kingdom that he has established, and understand that this is God's order of things. And in so doing, you will find true fulfillment. Men and women will find true fulfillment when we live within God's structure and confines. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Nevertheless, In verse 11, we're clear that, okay, yes, man was created, then woman was created for man. But let's go on. It's not done yet. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. We're not independent of one another. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. I have never met a pregnant male. That would not make sense. I have not seen nor met a pregnant male. Man comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? He says, hey man, you guys think through this. Think through this, how this plays out. Even nature itself teaches that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him. And you can look at it even just in the primping, you know, prepping and primping concept. Ladies, you don't want to look over and see your husband spending more time messing with his hair than you do. That's that basic or that simple. It's not natural. That would be weird. If your husband's spending more time in the bathroom than you are, that's weird. Well, generally speaking. Generally speaking. I'm talking in the preparation part. Primping and prepping part. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. And he's sharing again, differently than the prostitutes that are seen out there. So this is why don't you think we should be encouraging our young people to use modesty in how they dress? You don't want to look like a hooker. You don't want to be treated like a hooker. Don't dress like one. You want to be treated like a lady? Dress like a lady. To me, these things are not complicated. Certain things are not appropriate, and they're not ever going to be appropriate, and we should use good discernment, because you don't want to be treated like that, then don't handle yourself that way. Don't carry yourself that way. You see? It's not way out there. It's right here for us to see. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So he's saying, if you don't wear covering, so like we don't necessarily say that needs to happen. Why? Because we understand the spiritual continuity of this is that there is a covering within the relationship with men and women, and that it should be done in an orderly fashion, and that there is the knowledge that which is being said is subject to those who are in the gathering. So if something got said that was kind of distant from truth, if I was in that gathering, I would say, hey, listen, you know, we don't necessarily find that in the biblical context, and I would just kind of set that in order, because I would be the responsible party in that situation to make sure that we aren't getting sidetracked off on these other things. Again, interesting things to contemplate, think through. Let's move along now. We've covered that area, and I think it's something to work through inside yourself. He says, hey, look it. You don't have to wear a hat, okay? That's not mandatory. That's not the thing that it's saying. He's saying, think through this. Do what would fit within the confines of your culture that's going to be honoring and maintaining something in the thought process that does this honor God? Is this going to please him? Or is this something that's going to kind of show a disorder, something that's out of order? Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, and he's talking about the gathering, and they did what they literally called a love feast. They gathered together, and that was how they broke bread, and they celebrated, and as they got together as a body, and they would celebrate the Lord's table in this way. But he says, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, he says, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it, for there must also be fractions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Obviously, it's going to be clear that there are certain people that are seen as leaders and this type of thing. And he says, okay, there I can see that there's certain things within that. But he says, he dealt with the divisions, you remember, in the earlier chapters of 1 Corinthians. Then he dealt with that issue. He says, so I understand there's certain distinctions that take place, but there shouldn't be this unhealthy stuff that way. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. He says, you guys are just grabbing stuff and not really considerate of the others around. Paul is concerned about the equality within the body being exercised in a healthy way. And he says, you know, really come with a right heart, come with a heart to minister one to another, to be a blessing one to another. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? And he says, it's not about rushing over there and grabbing just what you want. You see, it's about gathering together and just celebrating who Jesus is and enjoying the company of one another. Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? He says, you know, well, I brought steak, so you're running over there to make sure you get some of the steak you brought. And you kind of make this big scene about that. And this other person that brought mac and cheese, because, man, that's all they can afford is a couple of boxes of, Kraft mac and cheese. You know, those things used to buy like 4 boxes easily for $1. That day's gone, huh? I don't know what it costs now, but what does it cost now? How much? Almost $1 for the whole thing. Oh, my gosh. And a real deal is 60-something cents. Wow. Well, times have changed, haven't they? But nonetheless, you can see this idea of, hey, the person that brought mac and cheese, you don't want to shame them. You know, that's cool. They brought what they had. God's going to be honored by that. You see, it's just keeping the ground level here. Thinking about the other people around you. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. That's lame, basically. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. He says, man, this came to me from God. I'm sharing it with you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. This idea of unworthy or not giving value to, not appropriating what this really is or what this really represents, the broken body and the shed blood, not giving worth, honoring God by giving worth to it. Giving worth in a multiple of ideas or ways also. What that means to you and I as believers as we celebrate the Lord's table together, the significance of that. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So, I think this idea is clearly stated for us that we would spend a moment in reflection and just say, Lord, you search my heart. Reveal to me if there's anything there that's just not in sync, if it's out of order with you. Lord, help me to see that, and then that I might get it right between myself and you. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding what that really is, that we are sharing in this one with another, and we become one in him. We are one in him, but we are showing by partaking of this that we are believers, that we are professing. Communion is not for non-believers. Communion is for believers, people who are followers of Jesus Christ. And he says, man, not discerning the Lord's body, not recognizing what it is, the body of Christ, what was done for us, those stripes that he received, that tearing of his flesh, that can also, the Bible says, that can bring healing to you and to me. Discerning, understanding what that represents to us and what it means to us. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. says many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In other words, if we let the Lord examine and let God have his way in those areas, we wouldn't be judged. A lot of times we think God's not, because he hasn't judged that area of your life today, that he's giving a stamp of approval and that you can do whatever you want. But that's his grace. And we don't want to cheapen his grace toward us. If there is conviction in our hearts, we should move on that conviction to get things right, whatever that might be, whatever that situation is, that we would let God have his way. This is where all of the information needs to go out the window for a minute, and we need to get into relationship with the Lord. We need to hear from God through his word, from him personally, into our hearts, speaking to us, saying, yes, that's okay, man, that needs to go. That needs to be adjusted. That needs to be straightened out. Need to get a new attitude on this, whatever it might be. Or if we would judge ourselves in verse 31, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, what does it say in verse 32? We are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world, that we wouldn't suffer the condemnation of the world, but that we would be liberated in his grace and his mercy, his goodness toward us. That chastening. If we would but receive that, Hebrews does such a great portion on that idea of the chastening of the Lord. You know, I often share that concept of what it means and listening to those that love you and that have displayed agape toward you. That not only are we to listen, but we're to respond to those things. That we are to be adherents because they might, perchance, know something. They might see something. They might have a heart for you and for that situation. And that we're to respond. That's the chastening. It's the chastening of the Lord. Because I look back and I think, I remember my dad telling me, you got to stop taking your bike apart, son. You got to stop doing this. I couldn't help myself. And I remember him telling me, he'd come home from work, I'd be in the garage, and he'd see what I've done again. He'd go change his clothes. My dad was a suit and tie guy. And he'd go in, change his clothes. He'd come out, white t-shirt, his jeans. He'd come out in the garage, say, son, I told you, you've got to stop doing this. I wasn't strong enough to always tighten everything right, and I always got hung up with the sprocket, you know, and the chain, and it was just, I just had trouble getting things adjusted right, and things would rub funny or something. It was just a constant thing that I had struggled with for a while. And my dad said, you just gotta stop doing this. Just ride your bike, enjoy your bike, stop doing this, you know. Well, it all seemingly was making sense to me, but the time that it became really, really clear was when I'd taken the front tire and rim off a few times. And then I put it back on, I tightened it up. And I'm riding down, you know, we had a little hill, you know, on our driveway, come flying out down the street, riding down along, you know, I see some of my friends out there and I pop a wheelie. But the problem was, and I've shared this with you, it was a dangerous situation for me. I looked out and I'm riding my wheelie and I'm feeling pretty cool about things, looking at my friends. I look out in front of me and there goes the wheel. Okay? You know where I'm going with this. It was a bad situation. I landed on the forks and then, you know, I had this, I just kind of landed right on my face and just skinned it all up. I had this little scab right there, a little Hitler mustache scab for a couple of weeks going to school. So that was kind of a bummer. But the idea is that if I would have just listened, my dad had my best interest. He knew that perchance that was exactly the kind of thing that would happen. But we all know better for ourselves, don't we, than dad. See, but maturity, comes in, and all of a sudden, we start listening. Because you know, perchance, in humility, I should acknowledge they might know something that I don't know. They might see something that I don't see. The chastening of the Lord. It seems painful at the time, but in the end, it yields this wonderful fruit as we are just sensitive to God and to his direction. Because he knows us and he knows what's best for us and he wants us to be in line with his purpose and plan. He doesn't want us to experience the condemnation that the world goes through in any manner, He doesn't want that. He wants us to respond out of that love. This book that we recommend, and it's not only recommended, but it's expected reading for those who are a part of our ministry and our leadership, by K.P. Yohannan, called Touching Godliness Through Submission. You find so much of these wonderful truths. And if anybody is going to run with me in ministry or be a part of the ministry, not only do they need to read that, they need to understand that, and they need to be adherents to it. If they're not adherents to it, they won't be able to run with me very long. Because not every decision I make is going to be the most popular decision. It's not always going to be, but we're trusting that God is ministering and that God calls people to these different roles. And as an overseer, I'm trusting that God's given me a little bit of ability to, because it means literally, to be able to get up and look a little bit out further, to be an overseer. And the only interest that I would have in that is that God would be glorified, that God would be magnified, that you'd have good, healthy marriages, your family would grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ, that they would flourish, they'd walk with God, that they wouldn't go off to college or the military and then walk away from God, but that they would walk with Jesus. That's my desire. That's my heart. And that we would flourish, that we would actually have a message that might matter to our world around us, that might give hope and encouragement, and that lives would be changed. Therefore, my brethren, Paul says, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. This is why we just say, hey, when you get the elements, the bread and the cup, just hang on to it. We're going to partake of it together. Because you see, it's not just a ritual. That's not what communion is. It's not just a ritual. It's a display and an acknowledgement of a relationship that we have with God. And we're saying, when we partake of the bread and the cup, that He is the King and that we are the subjects. That He's to rule and reign, and that He gave His blood for us, and that He is the one that sustains us. What a powerful, powerful truth. And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. He says, hey, you know, so don't push and shove. Let's be respectful and honor God by our love, the display of our love for one another. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, I know as we listen to the Word, oftentimes the Spirit begins to convict us. And you know, Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through Him. You know, it is very exclusive, Christianity is, and I know that offends some. But it's also all-inclusive in that anyone who would give their life to Jesus can have everlasting life. But it is exclusive in the sense that Jesus said He is the way, the only way to have everlasting life. If the Lord's tugging on your heart just now, would you open the door and let Him in? Just pray this simple prayer of faith along with me now. While you're driving or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, sitting in front of a computer, wherever you are, whether it's through the internet or through the airwaves, I just encourage you right now to open your heart to Jesus and begin that new life. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask You to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I thank You for forgiving me. I thank You for the newness of life that I have in You, and I ask that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that my life might be pleasing to You and give You glory. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus.